Log Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty. Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Breeze told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome once again to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. It's been a minute. Just decided to take a break and clear my mind, clear my thoughts. Just a lot going on, and like I say, trying to keep up with all of it can really depress you, on top of everything else that may be happening in or around you. Let me say something real quick. We all have our personal lives. We all have our things that we deal with, but collectively, we're failing each other. We're so wrapped up into self-servitude. We're so wrapped up into what we want. And we have become so fixated on having things at our fingertips, the convenience factor. I'm going to get a little personal for a moment. We have got to do better. We're failing each other. We're falling, and we are failing each other tremendously because we were not stand together. And don't get me wrong, because I'm not here tonight to bash the marches and the protesters or none of that. I mean, every element is key when doing this work, and like I say, not only that, we all have personal lives on top of the activism that we may do as well. And then, you know, my comrades, we pretty much fund everything that we do. And we do our best, you know, with what we have and with who we have. And we don't do a bad job, if I must say so myself. And I'm just saying, it's, you know, I consider my comrades, my brothers and sisters, family as well. I'm big on family. I'm big on family. I had family growing up, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like my mom and dad. It was, you know, a stepdad, and it's a little different, and I try not to be the way he was. I try to be level and equal. And I mean, we all know what's right and what's wrong, what's wrong and right. We all know right from wrong. We're at an age now, we're at a time now, we're at a time where doing what's right is not the popular thing to do. People do what's needed to get attention. People do what's needed to further their agenda. We have become so selfish and so self-servient that we don't think about one another. And we're quick to downgrade and downplay one another. We never try to work together. We never work things out for the better. We always allow well enough to be well enough. And sometimes well enough just ain't good enough. We'll never perfect anything, but we can do our damnedest to get it right. And that's really what we're failing at doing. When I say we're falling, I mean we're falling. I hear brothers always saying, I'm not going to fall for the okey-doke, but we're falling. Falling for it daily. And like I say, we're failing each other on top of that because we're not caring for one another. And I've said this before, we're all damaged. I don't care what background you come from, and I don't care if you was born with a silver spoon in your black mouth. As long as you are black in America, you're damaged. And we need to accept that fact, first off, and then we need to react to that. And the reaction is not to consistently cause strife amongst one another. The fixer is to be able to sit down and work out our differences, because when we work out our differences, the other differences will become small and minute, because then we will know what we're doing. We'll know how we're moving. And that's right now what we don't know. We don't have a clue as to our motion. We don't have a clue as to our movement. We don't have a plan as to what's next. And it's critical to have a plan in place. I mean, it's okay to plan for tomorrow, but plan for 5 years down the road. Plan for 10 years down the road. My thing is 4 generations, and what I really am trying to do is leave something that 4 generations of family can stand on and can work with. Because we have got to start, like I say, focusing on what's really important. And like us family, raising our kids right, giving our kids the kind of morals and values that we were raised with, putting the fear of that backhand back into these younger generation. Discipline never kills. I'm still here. Discipline didn't kill me. Discipline made me a respectful man. Discipline doesn't kill. Discipline gives a person integrity. Like I say, morals, values, respect, self-respect. And that's what we're not doing. We need to start. Listen here. I get on here and I talk. I'm not perfect by any means. I told my story the first show I did. I told my story how I went down in the gravel pits by my own choice. And a lot of the choices that I made, dictated the outcome. And I was prepared for that, but I wasn't prepared for that. But preparation, family, we got to get back to family. Because if we don't get back to family, that's where it all spawns from. It spawns from family, period. I mean, I miss the days when my great-grandparents were alive back in the 70s, back when I was a little bitty boy ripping and running around, not knowing nothing. But we had family there. We had not only family, the community was family. The community was the village. We took care of one another. We looked out for one another. And everybody, nobody is perfect. Nobody's home is going to be perfect. Nobody's house is going to be perfect. But the thing about it is striving, reaching. Keep reaching for a goal. Keep reaching for that perfection. We'll never perfect it. No, it's not for us to perfect, but it is for us to give our best damn shot. And right now, like I said, we're failing each other because we're not giving each other our best you. I'm trying to give the world the best me because, like I say, I would have hated myself, my younger self. I would have despised my younger self, the shit I used to do, the things that I used to think were the cool thing to do. And we were all young and dumb at one time, and we shouldn't be upset when our children don't listen because we all went through that phase, too, where we didn't listen. But now we're at a point where we've got to start putting family first. You got to start putting community first because we are all we got. Like I say all the time, we need each other. There's so much happening right now around us that we cannot afford not to unite. And that's what's so bothersome to me. And I know I'm kind of starting this show off a little backwards because I won't get into the current events, but I just kind of wanted to talk about why the tide is not turning in our favor. And those are just my thoughts because I know from history what we can do. Now, I'm a kind of person that I don't believe in what I can't do. I ain't never believed in what I couldn't do because a lot of things I just didn't try to do. And see, a lot of things we say we can do, maybe, we haven't even given it our best shot. We haven't even tried it yet. We have never even really got to see or recognize or feel our own true power, our own true creativity, our own true intellect. And that's why I say we've got to start being more humble. And I'm not, like I say, perfect at all. And I'm the first to admit my faults because I believe that self-correction is the best lesson because you know when you're not doing some shit that's not right. You know when you're doing something that you shouldn't do. So that's when I say that we need each other to self-correct, because we know one another. Nobody else knows us better than we do. And see, we got to get to know each other a little bit better, because I can be around you for 5 years and really not know you, because sometimes, and I'm guilty of this myself, you don't put your whole self out there for nobody. Now, also what I'm guilty of is putting myself out there in certain instances, in which I just feel like it's a time and a place for everything. And then I feel like we should be stop trying to hide things from one another, because we do that all the damn time. One of us will come up on something, and instead of us sharing the idea, we want to charge for the idea. You know, in the game, they say, you know, is to be told, not sold. Or sold, not told. But I beg to differ, because we have plenty of people who have entrepreneurial spirits and who have done major things in the business world from an entrepreneurial standpoint. But how many of those brothers actually share the wealth? And when I say share the wealth, I'm not talking about selling the knowledge. I'm talking about sharing the wealth. You got brothers out there right now, and these are brothers, I understand what they're doing, but I don't agree with a lot of what they do, because we all are in the same boat. We all lack the knowledge of self in some shape, form, or fashion. And when you gain that knowledge of self, don't sit on that. Don't keep that from your brother, your sister. Don't hide the information. Don't charge for the information. Like I said, there's a lot of brothers out here now who are hustling the movement, and I just can't hustle my family like that. I'm not going to try to hustle my biological family. I'm not going to try to get over on anybody. I'm going to be as honest and upfront as I can be. I've changed. I used to try to run a game, but sometimes it's not about the game. Sometimes it's just about playing and playing to win. And that's another thing. We know the game. We just not playing the game to win the game. See, and that's what we got to start doing as well. Nobody wants to lose. I can lose graciously. Yes, I can. Comes with time. But nobody likes the bitter taste of loss. And I don't care in whatever area. And we have lost so much. We've lost our identity, first of all. And in a lot of cases, we've lost our own thoughts, our own words, our own intellect. And it's time for us to jump on the opportunity. The opportunity is us. And the more united we become, the stronger we become. These are reasons why the tide is not turning in our favor. We waiting on somebody to do something when that somebody might just be you listening. It might just be you. Because I always tell anybody, it's not about how big you do. It's about how consistent you do it. And consistency is another thing that we don't stay on nothing. We don't stay on top of it. We don't force these people's hands. And we all know the bluff game. And I think our bluff game could be pretty tough. But preparation to back the bluff is needed, because of who we're dealing with. And if we go that route, we're talking their language. That's what they're ready for. And we are definitely going to have to turn some stones. And some of us, we're definitely going to have to do some things that we don't want to do because freedom has a cost. And the reason that we're not getting any closer to freedom is because a lot of us are not willing to pay the cost. And I've said this 100 times. I don't want to see my grandkids, my 2 granddaughters, my grandson grow up in this world the way it is right now. Because I'm just going to be frank, it's fucked up. It's fucked up out here, and especially for us. Everybody's a priority over us. For 400 plus years, we've been getting the whip and chain. And now all of a sudden, the president that everybody thought was going to do something for us, or he done something, but he ain't done nothing for us. It took him no time to sign this anti-Asian hate bill. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here to knock the Asians either, but ain't no people perfect, and them Asians are not perfect either, because I remember so vividly Latasha Harlan, and that lady got probation. So I don't have any sympathy for those who just happen to stumble into their damn karma. And see, that's what's really starting to happen. People are starting to stumble into their karma because, see, you can sugarcoat it and smooth it over and make it a little not so rough. But sooner or later, you're going to have to own up to your actions. And see, a lot of people are not willing to do that. These Asians ain't willing to do it. And not to say that they haven't been oppressed by these, you know, colonizers either. Because, yeah, I know their history too. But nobody has went through it like we have went through it. We coming up on the 100-year anniversary of the Tulsa race riots. And my route now takes me in and out of Texas and Oklahoma. And I listen to NPR radio a lot, and I really would like to go to those festivities that are going to be taking place during Memorial Day weekend, matter of fact, because that week is actually the week that marks the 100-year anniversary. When I think about Tulsa and the Greenwood District and how those people had nothing and how they literally had even no boots with a strap but built something. And not only that, that little town, that little 35-block area in Tulsa was actually ready to do business on an international level. And see, hatred came in. This is why we got to know who we're dealing with. We got to stop being so damn quick to get mad and hateful and spiteful and strifeful with one another, because it don't take nothing. See, my thing is this. This is me, though. This is me, and I'm just being real. I don't play with certain people. I don't take shit off of certain people. Certain people can't even look at me the wrong way. I don't like it. My brothers and my sisters, my family, I can overlook that because we all feeling the same pain and anger and disgust and depression right now. And then you couple that with just the sheer fear of you could lose your life at a traffic stop. You could, better yet, you could lose your life sitting in your house. If somebody call on you and the police show up at your day, they'll kill you in your home. Eating ice cream, playing video games with your nephew. They have no regard for us, and it's time that we turn the tide in our favor. And that's all I'm saying. I'm tired of hearing about the Ronald Greens. You know, that's a situation that is bothersome in itself. And if you haven't saw the video and you like me, don't watch it. And I shouldn't have watched it. And I watched it in its entirety right before this show because I just hadn't sat and watched it. But that, the way they did that, brother, 2 years ago, mind you, this was 2019 when this happened. Now, just imagine if we were in a unified, collective state of mind, treating each other and like family and respecting one another and realizing each other and one another's shortcomings and accepting them and just helping each other to grow together. See, we can stop this kind of shit from happening. Because, like I say, this is something that they were ready to sweep up under the rug, had claimed that this brother was in a car accident. But come to find out, they beat that brother senseless, tased him numerous times, drug him from the shackles on his feet. He was face down, handcuffed behind his back, and they drug him on his stomach and face first. Now, I'm going to stop right there because that's what pissed me off. The whole ordeal pissed me off, but the way they drug him after he was subdued and then lied, see, and that's the thing. Everybody don't do right. Everybody has something that they have done in fault. And there's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. What you should feel guilty about is when you do foul shit and you don't have enough integrity or humility to apologize, just to simply apologize, atone for it. And that's something that we have never gotten from them collectively and never will. And that's why I can't forgive people who don't feel as if they have done anything wrong. And this system constantly spits in our face and tells us, I didn't spit in your face. No, that wasn't my knee on your neck. No, you just seeing something. And we fall for it. And in that, we fail each other once again. Like I say, and then we keep running into these old footages, you know. So, you know, when are we going to turn the tide? When are we going to really realize and recognize our power lies within each other? Our power lies in our reliance upon one another. And like I always said, too, putting the pettiness aside, because unless somebody is physically mistreating you, mishandling you, mentally abusing you, nothing that nobody can do to me is just going to make me behave, especially my brothers and my sisters, because I know within us we're dealing with so much, and sometimes we may lash out at the wrong person. Sometimes we may take something the wrong way. But that's just part of us, and like I say, we can't let that divide us. And it's families that have not been together, spoken, and in years behind something probably small. Oh, he came over here and got three plates and he left. He didn't even stay there. Okay, we got to get over that. Oh, he said this about me. Okay, we got to get over that. We can't keep letting the small things divide us and separate us, because now we're doing their work. We're doing the divide and conquer. We're doing the work of the of the colonized, straight up. And in the meanwhile, while we beefing and bickering amongst one another, what continues to happen? We continue to rack up a body count. We continue to drop like feathers off a bird. You know, we dropping like flies out here. And I'm concerned about that. Like I say, don't want this world to be this way for my grandkids. And like I said earlier too, it's time that we sacrifice, make the proper sacrifices. And the first sacrifice is some time, because that's going to be the initial requirement, just a little bit of time. And with all of the technology that we have at our disposal today, we don't have to be in the same building every time. We can, it's just a lot of technology. But like minds need to start working with like minds. We need to start having seminars. We need to start having gatherings where we're planning, where we're training, where we're sharing information, where we are helping one another come up, where we helping each other be the best we that we can be. Because, see, I can be good by myself, but if I got a partner, whoo, and we moving in the same direction, it's on. Nothing can stop us when we are working together. And that's what I want us to understand. When we, you know, unite, and when we're working as a unit, we can change conditions. We can change politics. We change things. We've changed so many things in this culture that we don't get credit for, and that we have never been economically, broken off either. So it just gets to a point where, you know, when is enough enough? And, you know, I was asked the question once, what do I think it will take? I honestly don't know, because I said if these police murders keep happening the way they are, maybe we'll come together. I think that the George Floyd situation really brought a different light on it, because of the sheer way he was done in public. That was just a public execution, which all of them have been. But that one was really public, right there on a street corner by a busy store, for the world to see. And they were trying to cover that up until the young lady who took the video, came forward with it. And that's the thing. See, these devils don't ever feel like they're wrong. A devil don't feel like they're wrong. And then you got a world that was, well, not a world, but you got a whole country that was catered to you. So, you know, you don't feel like you can do any wrong in it. And then when you are deemed wrong, you know, you they don't know how to behave. And, you know, you look at that case, Derek Chauvin, the whole time he sat there in his arrogance. Never, he could have at least taken the stand to apologize to the damn family, if nothing else. But see, that's what's wrong. Some people don't feel like, you know, he don't think what he did was wrong. And it's the past now. And that's the way they look at it. That's the past. Don't worry about that. Just worry about now. Get over that. You know, okay. Well, that's easier said than done. And you don't know how that feels until you have walked in them flip-flops or them socks or them shoes or them boots or whatever. You don't know how that feels. So my thing, same thing with Amber Guyton. I've been keeping up with that. I meant to Google that before the show because I'm still waiting to hear, and it's bothering me that it's taking them so long to deny that. But once again, in her arrogance, and she feels like she didn't do nothing wrong. That's the past. It's done. What's done is done. True that. But own that shit. Own it. And that's what they not doing. And they ready for us to get over that. They ready for us to get over George Floyd. They ready for us to get over Ronald Green. They ready for us to get over Ahmaud Arbery. They want us to forget all them names. Sandra Bland, Tatiana Jefferson. They ready for us to get over all of that. I just can't do it no more. It bothers me. It makes my head hurt some nights just thinking about all the lives that we've lost for nothing. For nothing. And all this time that has passed, and we still haven't decided that enough is enough. Because, oh, when we decide enough is enough, it'll be enough. It'll be enough, but it's got to be enough of us saying that shit in order for it to take place. And that's what we're lacking. We're missing the target on that. And then, like I say, we continue to look for somebody to dig us out of a hole that we can dig ourselves out of. We can dig ourselves right up out of it. Period, and not have to look back twice. I mean, we've got the intellect for sure. We've got the creativity for sure. We actually have the economic base, but we won't bring that economic base together to work for us like everybody else does. And then when we do get black businesses, we won't support them. And I'm really getting ready to try to make this a habit in everything that I do. And I know it's not many black grocery stores around, and I don't know of any in this area, but I'm really going to try to make it a point to just every little thing that I do, try to do it with somebody that looks like me. Because that's important too. And that's why a lot of our businesses didn't make it through the pandemic and were struggling before the pandemic. And that's what happened to all of our businesses once segregation happened. We felt like we were too good then to go to black establishments, but we still had to sit at the back of the white restaurants. So how dumb was that? When you could sit by the window in your own, you choose to sit in the back in the dark corner just because you could go in there. We gave up a lot, and we still giving up a lot. And we not even headed back in the direction of getting what we had. We not even headed in that direction. And we get a lot of rhetoric from these Hollywood activists, Ben Crump, and all the rest of them ones, you know. I'm not tripping on them, but I mean, the money they're making, are they giving anything back to those communities? I wonder. Are they setting anything aside for the children of those victims? I wonder, because it had not been for that loss, they wouldn't have no millions and millions like they get. And that's why it's important for us to get on top of this, because it ain't about the money. We can share the wealth. And it's time for us to have some of that wealth. But I'm going to take a quick break. I say I got a couple of callers on. I appreciate y'all for calling in. I appreciate everyone for listening online. And I didn't even give out the call-in number. If you are listening online, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Tonight, I'm just talking about some current events, and I started off talking about why the tide is not turning in our favor, and I really just gave some thoughts and some opinions as to why we're not prospering as a people, why we're not prospering together, why we're not even trying to work together. What's wrong with some of us that don't even feel the need to converse with your own people? See, some of us have gotten so beside ourselves and so caught up in the mix of the world that we have let loose of reality. And see, I can't forget about reality, because right now reality for me is we're dying out here, you know, and I don't like that. And I mean, you all know I've told the story about my uncle. And when I heard in this Ronald Green case how they picked him up in the ambulance and shackled him to the gurney, and that just reminded me, I had a flashback of my uncle, because there was a picture in the Denver newspaper of my uncle shackled to a damn hospital bed, dying after they had beat him senseless. So I don't just talk this talk because it's popular. It hit home with me. And it's time that we honestly put a cease to this. I mean, we have the power. And that's what I want us to understand. Why do we not understand the power we possess? We put Biden and Harris in the White House. Well, they did, because I couldn't vote for neither one of them. Sorry, and say what you want. But a vote ain't never got us nothing. That vote ain't got us nothing. What y'all get for it besides that sticker that you put on your shirt? Taking pictures, putting this shit all on Facebook like you done something. And what is he doing? Putting the broom handle in your butt right now without Vaseline. And with that being said, I'm going to take a break before I get off on something else. Stay tuned, y'all. You're listening to The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network. Be right back after this quick break.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other either. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave, and the little baby devils, and the medium-sized devils, and the mama devil, and the daddy devil, and the uncle devil, and the auntie devil, and the cousin devil, and the grandma devil, and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones who go, sign language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman.
Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right, peace, peace, and power. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. If you are listening online and would like to get in on the conversation, I'll be opening up the mics. If you want to get in on the conversation, just press 1 at any time and you can join in and give your statements, opinions, agreements, disagreements. But it's all about getting something started and getting something moving in the right direction. Again, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. And tonight I was just talking about why the tide is not turning. And I was listening to Brother Khalid Muhammad just then, RIP, rest in power to him, rest in power to Brother Malcolm X as well. And just listening, and we know that Brother Malcolm was, a few years before Brother Khalid Muhammad, but those brothers recognized the necessity of unity, the necessity of us coming together and working as one power unit, because once we do start working together, it is going to be a power unit, no doubt. I have no doubt in my mind. I'm just ready for that day to come when we realize and recognize that we need each other more than we think we don't need each other. Because the biggest thing with us, and I'm going to break it down on both sides of the fence, because the biggest thing with us is we don't have any regard for family. You hear brothers out here talking about, oh man, fuck that, and I don't give a damn about that, and chasing 3 or 4 skirts. And likewise, you have no other race of people. White men do not talk about their women like that. Asian men do not talk about their women like that. And problems happen. There's nothing that we can do to stop that. But we have got to be problem solvers and not problem inflammatories. I think I'm saying that right. But likewise, this system, though, has conditioned us that way. And in the same breath, has conditioned our women to feel like, I don't need no man. I don't need no man. But you don't hear any other race of women speaking out of line like that. No matter what, the white woman is going to always stand behind a white man, and likewise, the white man is going to always protect his white woman, as it should be, with us as well. I see I got my brother. So we got to fix that issue, and then we build from that, because that, like I say, is the first step up the ladder, is taking care of one another, period, point blank. Ain't no other way around it. If we don't start taking care of one another, who is? And we see who ain't. So peace, brother. Your mic is open. Welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, what's going on, bro? I kind of wanted to try to answer some of the questions I heard you asking, but we have, and I'm going to preface this with my opinion. Right. In my opinion, we don't want to be a unit. there's only a handful that do want to do that out of the necessary millions that need to do it. So, I'm sorry. People want to text me whenever I'm on. I don't know why. Anyway, we're not going to do what we need to do for each other. And I'm going to disagree about how these white folks treat their women, because I just got reminded of something that happened in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Damn it, right.
Where a woman went out hanging out with some friends or whatever, or hanging out by herself. But either way, she's in a pool hall, a bar, where they have some pool tables. And this woman gets gang raped by these guys in there. One guy had grabbed her and just started, you know, going a little too far and put her on the table. The next thing you know, there's people crowded around, and now she is basically being raped by these men. To show you how the world thinks, okay? You would think that a woman who was gang raped in a bar would be a victim. Somehow, they wound up victimizing. They made her the problem, and the men who did this heinous act, the victims. She had women in that area saying basically she deserved what she got and all this other shit. And these were other women, okay? And this was in New Bedford, Mass. It ain't a large black community there, mostly Portuguese.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
And so they are just as heinous on each other. In India, okay, because we can look at culture. But in all of these cultures, one thing has not been extracted, and that was rape, which is the ultimate disrespect of any human being outside of murdering them. So, they do it to each other. The thing is that what we do to each other, we do it not only for the silliest reasons, but expecting a good result out of it. And that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. With us, we look at our effort and we weigh our effort on a different scale than the world weighs our effort. In our world, we're doing way more. To the world, we ain't doing shit. And it's up to us to look at why that perspective is there. Because what I have to say about the Asians, those same Indians, the Chinese, all of them, while they're not perfect, they're way more connected with each other than we are. And we're not connected on purpose. We're doing it. Our unity is not up to the system. It's up to us. We just won't do it. We just won't do it. What we have to do is we have to start minimizing are what we thought we did that was big, and look at it truly on the grand scale, because
right.
On the grand scale, it's just a blip. It's a blip. It's just like them towns that you can blink as you drive past, and you done passed the town. You 5 miles outside before you know it. It's like that. We don't see ourselves together, so we won't ever really be together. We're giving it shots here and there, but you know, we're kind of like a balloon with a hole in it, man. Our unity don't hold no air. That I'm a year.
Wow. That was kind of deep right there, that last statement. Yeah, unity definitely doesn't, because, like I say, you know, and like I was saying earlier, you know, with all this going on, we could, I'm not going to say stop it, but we could curb it just by simply unifying. You made some real good points, though. I didn't know anything about New Bedford, that situation in New Bedford, Massachusetts, though. But, you know,
this happened years ago, bro. Oh, okay. You don't remember where they had the case? It was in the news and everything. This was prior to the digital age, as you want to call it. But this was like
right.
in the 90s. This shit actually, when it made the news, everybody thought these guys were going to get banged on, and that was it. And, hell, that woman, they hid the woman's face, but then they put her name and address out in the court record. Next thing she know, she had to fear for her and her kids' lives.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah, that was back in my day.
And that's up in, you know, Stephen King area, Stephen King's shit, you know, up in that upper part of the Northeast above New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've been through New Bedford, you know, in my travels. And, yeah, like you say, yeah, it's a bunch of them. No, I didn't get to see the hood. Didn't get to see the hood.
Because there ain't one there. It is a hood.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It is a small place. Ain't much to it. I flowed through it. But, yeah.
It's only 100,000 people there, man. That's all. 100,000, you know. That's it. It's not even that big of a place. You would think that if someone got gang raped there, that justice would be swift and quick. That shit took a long time and cost that woman her fucking life. She became so much more of an alcoholic, she wound up dying because she crashed into a tree, left her kids with no mama.
Wow.
And I always wondered if that crash wasn't assisted somehow, because she cost a lot of them guys. They did get, you know, a couple of them got locked up on the charge for the rape. Yeah, but, you know, all the other stuff, the cheering it on and all that, they didn't get none of that. But they went for the rape. But what I was looking at was how the people around there immediately turned on the victim.
Mm-hmm.
They turned on the victim. The women turned for one reason, the men turned for another. It's just like with us. Our unity is fucked because the men view it through one lens, the women view it through another. You could be rolling along good, and the man will say something that the woman will take as patriarchal. And while she may not say anything about it, she'll never forget you said it. And when you piss her off, she will bring it up. With the man, he needs his ego stroked. And women don't always want to stroke egos. So sometimes they look at you like you ain't they baby, you that motherfucker on the couch. Can't take it personal. That at that moment, you that motherfucker on the couch. Okay, they ain't going to be in love every day. Some days they just like you. Some days they don't even want to see you. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But our overall unity requires us to step out of our comfortable slippers and put on them wooden shoes. Still got walking to them.
No doubt. I agree wholeheartedly. And then, too, you know, like I was saying, it's just going to take us, we damaged. We need a bunch of fixing, you know, and we got to be willing to, you know, be what we're not going to be, what we're not willing to be with each other, patient, you know. sad to say that, but, you know.
Do you like
required.
The Saw movies, brother?
Yeah, I do.
What is the main theme about the Saw movies? Outside of the gore, outside of the horror, what is the true message that he wants these people to get if they survive the trap?
Change their damn ways.
Appreciate their lives.
Yep.
He wanted them to appreciate the will to live. That's
right.
What it was about. Now, that doesn't guarantee how they're going to live, but the one thing it did do was it made people think about redemption, the shit that we do and think that we're slick and getting away with, all of that shit. What I took from the Saw movies was I took from it that you need to cherish your life, but the fix for anything that's going to happen starts with self. And unless everybody, all black folks, really decide to take a moment and look inside and start cleaning out the clutter and fixing some of the shit that it takes, because it takes communication, it takes, and that's,
right.
you know, I mean, it really takes communicating. It takes, you know, we find the silliest reasons to not do it, and then we don't do it. And then
yeah.
later on, we're upset when it's not happening with us, but we're only getting what we give, you know?
Yeah.
We're only getting
yeah.
what we give. I tried
yeah.
staying in touch with over 400 to 500 people, drove myself crazy, and I did it till I couldn't do it anymore. You know, but I did it, and I did it thinking I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone for a bigger purpose.
Right.
So was there times I didn't feel like talking? Sure. Was there times when I didn't want to, you know, hear another sob story or this and that? Yeah. But I listened to them anyway. I did what I could, what I couldn't. I made it clear I can't help, but what I could do, I did. And what if I couldn't do it, I tried to find somebody who could. And I always
right.
felt like,
right.
you know what, Kev? For all of the shit that I've done in the past, you know, I talked with my cousin today about some of the shit, you know, how stupid it was that, you know, some of the dumb shit where I was the danger in the neighborhood. I was the problem. I'm the one that's doing shit that fucks this up. You know, I had to look at all of that. And karma don't, you know, nobody escapes karma. Karma always makes its rounds if you have enough time. You know,
I'm hoping I don't outlive mine, you hear me?
we find out the hard way if we have or not. But, you know,
yeah.
Way I look at it is that people must start with self. Everything around you has to emit that vibe that you are approachable. That, you know, that you can talk. Cause see, my thing is we have to stop showing our cards. We're playing a game here with these people that I don't want to play, but they forced us into it, and we kind of have to play. So if you're going to play the game, then your best bet is to know the game and then know who you're playing against. So that way, you know, when they're doing shit, it's expected. You know, one of the things that made Jigsaw so deadly was that he was able to read people real quick. He could look at them and he could usually tell how they were going to react to certain shit. That's what made those games personal and aimed. Now, I didn't agree with putting people in these situations. None of that shit's not your call. You're not the judge, jury, and executioner. However, once a person finds themselves in the situation, now, before you can talk about all that other shit, you got to figure out how to get out of it. And I really started wondering, is that what our problem is that the reason why we're not trying to get out of the trap is because we don't really think we're in one. And our behavior proves it, that I'm a year.
Yeah, that's another good point, too, because we get so comfortable, I won't say complacent, but we get
that word
that
works for some people.
Zone.
Complacent is some of it.
Yeah. You know, and
anybody who cursed
we
at
just,
you for not voting for Kamala Harris, they're complacent.
Yeah, I got cursed a bunch of times.
So did
yeah.
I. By Christians at that. You know,
yeah,
but I
yeah.
speak for all my constituents
yeah.
when I say, fuck them. Take that to hell with you and hold on to it.
Most
make
definitely.
You warm at night.
So I want to get your thoughts. I know we talked briefly offline about it the other day. But I just said, and I hadn't watched that full video of Ronald Green, because I knew it was gonna make me mad, like all the rest of them doing, and it didn't disappoint, but. You know, when I said this earlier, you know, the sooner that we do come together, we can make a whole lot of that stop. But that one really hit home for me because the way they had him shackled to that bed, to that gurney, just brought back a picture of my uncle handcuffed to that hospital bed, dying. You know, not a threat to anybody. And I don't know, that one, that one really bothered me, and especially the way, because like I say, I didn't want to watch it. I had saw like bits and clips, but every time it would come on, I would, you know, not watch, turn it. But I did watch it all. And to watch the way they dragged him along the concrete, and then the audacity to lie and say that they found him in his car wrecked, you know, and it took whoever the doctor was that did can't think of the word.
The autopsy.
The autopsy. Yeah, he done a favor because he put on there very suspicious is what he put on there because he said.
But he didn't put a cause of death.
No, he didn't. Because there were two.
Which
strong.
Was a problem in itself. That makes him part of the cover-up.
Yeah, definitely. They all part of that.
If there was no cause of death, then that means the family never got a real death certificate. None of that shit. So everything is all wrong there, you know?
Yeah. And been lied to for all these, you know, you think about that happening. That happened back in 2019. So, you know, they've been lying about that and covering that up for some years now without, and what really gets me is you got to be one hell of a person to be able to commit an act that heinous and go home and go to bed and wake up the next morning and eat breakfast like everything is okay. You're a heartless person if you know. Which is not surprising because, I mean, with the history, but I don't know. That one, like I say, just really sticking
That's
with
what you
me.
Want in my mental on or?
Yeah, get thoughts about just that whole debauchery, honestly.
There's another one. And there'll be another one. There were several probably earlier that day or that week, and there'll be some tomorrow, some tonight. I can rest well in America knowing that somewhere there's an American doing American shit to another American. They'll have their own reasons for it and everything, but it is what it is. You know, hell, that one redneck cop, he told basically, you know, everything he said kills the car wreck story. I mean, they got it on tape. Man, hell, we did all good for that nigga, man. He just wasn't, you know, talking all fucking twangy and shit. And I'm thinking, all right, so you're acknowledging that obviously him dying after a car accident obviously was not how he died, because you're talking about all the ways you tried to get him to cooperate, and then he's on the ground, then you say he stops moving, he goes limp, you set him up, and he falls back down. So then that means you killed him. So to lie and say it was because of the car or because of anything else, come on. But then it's just like North Carolina. I saw the way the car was heading away from these people. They may have been next to the car, but they weren't even on the car. So he wasn't aiming at them. Now, had there been one cop in the front of him, I could see it. I didn't see none. And I think that's why he did it, because there was none there. However, their reaction to it is not what's on trial. What's on trial is his blackness and the fact that he had a warrant.
Yep.
What's on trial. For Ronald Green, what's on trial is not their actions. but him being there in their presence while they were doing this heinous shit. It always goes back to victim shaming, just like Dave Chappelle said on that thing, you know, when people victim shame, you know, man, Michael Jackson molesting kids. Well, what were those kids wearing? You know, when we start looking for a reason to explain heinous shit, it still comes back to us. Because we keep expecting something different in the same situation with the same motherfuckers pushing the same shit they've been pushing, and we're the ones that keep expecting something different. Oh, here come another one telling us they talking about reparations. They ain't even wanting to send you the money that they sent in now. What makes you think they wouldn't literally let people starve and get kicked out last year? The little couple of dollars they did send to help people that it did help, hell, they still hanging on by a string. So, you know, keep waiting for the savior if you want. Back to the Saw movie. You got to save yourself.
No doubt about that one, bro. No doubt about that one. You got to.
I mean, it is what it is. We keep relying on a system that has shown us a million times that, you know, even on the silliest shit, perfect example. You go spend $9,000-$10,000 on a vehicle. Then you got to go register the vehicle. Then you got to pay, you know, you got to have a license. And then you can't drive without insurance. You know, now all of this shit. Now, nobody else is chipping in on none of this shit with you. And you done already broke bread with the state just to have the permission to drive the vehicle that you bought with the money that they're barely wanting to pay you for the job. That's bullshit. Under their system. Who's zooming who? Now, that's for your average, everyday American. Now, let's make them black. Let's make them black. Changes the game just a little bit because your insurance rates are going to be more. Depending on your zip code is going to determine the thing. They're going to want to see the proof that you paid tax on that goddamn car. You know, all this shit, you know, some shit that will happen to you that may not happen to the next one.
Interest rate will be higher.
All of that, yeah. So, you know, like I said, but when you're complacent looking at the surface, then you figure if you write it off, it's the cost of doing business. I'm like, no, the cost of you being the business. You are the business. You just don't get it. If you knew your importance in this whole fucking thing, then you never let them tell you that you're not important in it. But we don't. We don't want to hear that part. When people start talking about it, we tune out because that means we'd have to change some shit and we'd have to actually step outside of our comfort zone. And that's the problem
and
with us.
And why is it? Why is it that we're constantly changing but never in the direction that we need to change because we're in a constant state of change daily. You understand?
You ain't been to the fair, to them little fucking the House of Mirrors and all that other shit? You know, we haven't moved any goddamn where. That's been the illusion. That's what you should have you angry when you step out and realize you've been on a goddamn merry-go-round. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow, but it's the same shit. The faster it goes, the more disoriented you get. The slower it goes, the more boring it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, bro. Because, honestly, our problem is we've decided that it's more important for us to have the latest gear, listen to the latest music, and all of that shit, stick our heads in the fucking sand and just let the world keep spinning and let these hoes keep grinning. And that's it. And that's not really it. That's actually exactly what they want. It's a form of sleep. It's a form of sleep. To stand in line for 6 hours waiting on a pair of goddamn Jordans, that's a sign of sleep. With your eyes wide shut.
Wide, yeah. Definitely. we put our energy, we pour our energy into the wrong things, and I can damn sure agree on that wholeheartedly too, because like
we
you say, yeah, we're
of.
Standing up.
Oh yeah, because I mean I've been there. I mean I've been there too, you know. But you know,
we all guilty
you keep
of
living.
Life,
oh yeah, like
you know?
Like my mom used to say, keep saying good morning, and some things become less important, while those things that you didn't feel were important become more important, you know. And I guess too that, you know, some of us hadn't come to that realization yet, to truly understand, you know, what's important, you know, and really focusing and working towards that, because we're put our energy all into these versus battles and all this kind of crap. And I said, boy, they you know, spit out these versus battle. I was flipping through my Yahoo emails this morning, and they got another versus battle they finna do with some dudes. I didn't even really read it, but I'm just like, I'm so, you know, those are things that distract us and are meaningless. You know, they're meaningless.
I mean, they're harmless.
Existence.
They're harmless battles of music, but I always wondered, why can't y'all just do a concert as opposed to being in competition with each other? Do a concert, do your little music, you know, or whatever, put on your show, but then the other one does theirs, and then if the people want to decide which one they like better and y'all can handle the L or the W that comes, great. I don't want to see Earth, Wind, and Fire against the Osley Brothers. I've seen them in concert. I'd rather see them perform rather than, do this silly shit, because this is being done more from, it's kind of like when that shit with Teddy Riley and Babyface. Now, I'm like this. I like both of their music. I don't have to pick either one. I mean, you know, Babyface, hey, he's the crooner. You know, that's after seven. That's all of that other shit, you know, that whole little genre, you know, helped bring TLC and all of that shit into the game. He had some wins. Teddy Riley, producing records for Kool Moe Dee, Go See the Doctor and all that back. And that's for the hip-hop heads. If you remember that song, that's taking you back to like 84, okay? So, you know, we're talking about a guy who was with not one, but two what I call super groups, Blackstreet, Guy. These were musical geniuses. The first time I saw Guy, to show you how crazy it was, I'm watching them on Showtime at the Apollo. I didn't even realize that they had a record. I didn't know who the fuck they were. I said, damn, these guys are pretty good. You know what I mean? I'm thinking that they did. I did not even realize they actually was, you know, a staff doing their thing, you know. And I had to appreciate Teddy Riley. So I'm figuring, like, come on, man, this guy done wrote for Boy George, all these other people. So far as I'm concerned, they both great in their own lane. Why put their lane next to each other to see which lane is better? When obviously both lanes are good and we enjoy them, why fuck with it? I don't know. That's just my thinking. Why work against each other? But that's part of the game, is to make, you know, this in sports, you should be competitive. It's man versus man, team versus team, whatever. That's in sports. To me, you can take that shit out of certain other shit because it doesn't benefit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't benefit. I thought back to when they was pitting Prince and Rick James against each other. Now, here's what's crazy about that. Prince goes on tour with the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones audience wasn't ready for Prince. Prince coming out there in a goddamn trench coat and some thongs and shit. They wasn't ready for that shit. And they didn't like the music, you know. But that's because they forget rock and roll, they didn't start it, we did. They took it. We started it. So I appreciate the artists like Little Richard and them who determined to just say, fuck it, we going to keep it. It's still ours. George Clinton had a rock band. Funkadelic was really a rock band, okay, for real. So, you know, but watching them pit them to, against each other, and I was thinking, even back then, and we talking about in the, you know, at the end of the 70s, you know, suppose they worked together. What kind of music? I mean, how would that have come out? You know what I mean? Because they were both good at making music.
Yeah.
So suppose would you have even listened to a record with Prince featuring Rick James or Rick James featuring Prince? We have been taught that they hated each other. I mean, hell, even years after they both dead, and it's still funny to talk about a game of basketball. And then if you heard Rick James talking about that basketball game, it was even worse. He talked shit about both of them, Eddie and Charlie. He didn't give a fuck. How y'all going to let Prince whoop y'all, man? Whatever. Created a friction that didn't need to be there. When you got two great minds that had, they sat down at the table and, look, Rick James was obviously willing because it was his tour. He brought Prince on. He invited him to be one of his opening acts. And actually, the tour was Roger Troutman and Zapp, Prince, and Rick James.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there had to be no competition. Nobody was trying, you know, they going to go out there and give their best show. They want to be the best show that night, but nobody's like should have been in competition. I'm thinking if you take that off the table, now we have a pure show. You're not trying to outshine him. You're enjoying entertaining us.
I kind of think the reason that they did it was, you know, because wasn't able to do concerts and all, and I get that, you know, but I don't know.
They didn't care about
like,
the concerts, man. They got us trained to pick a side.
Exactly, and then,
they
like,
got us trained
like, you know,
to pick a side. We
yeah,
can't like both. We got to pick one or the other.
Yeah, my whole thing was, I'm like you, why compete? They both good. And then, like I say, I think it might have just been something that they decided to do, you know, during the pandemic because, you know, people weren't able to go see them live or whatever. But to pit, why not do, I haven't seen them do that with any other groups except for our groups, you know, rap, R&B.
Yeah. I haven't seen Motley Crue versus Megadeth.
You know, that's, you know, my thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's always got to be, yeah. So I can understand what you're saying. It's about the competitive. And like I said, it's meaningless, you know, to say the least. But somebody's profiting off of it, you know. And best believe that the big bucket of money didn't go to the Isleys or to the Earth, Wind, and Fire, or, you know, any of the others that have participated in it. But somebody making nice change off of it.
Yeah. And the problem, again, like, you know, our problem is we've accepted so much GMO that we wouldn't know something pure if it kicked us in the fucking mouth. And that's just being real. We've let them water down everything that was good. System just basically treats us like Play-Doh, shapes us the way they want to shape us, see us from the viewpoint they want, and then show us that viewpoint. Have us question it. It's kind of like when Trump was talking that silly shit about the disinfectant, and that white bitch was so scared of him, and she's sitting back, you know, bitch, you are a doctor. You know what he's saying is ridiculous, and you sitting over here saying, you know, might be on to something. Fuck out of here. You
bro,
know what I'm saying?
You know what?
Fear.
I want to get your...
And I don't like fear. You know?
Yeah.
I see fear. And what I want everybody to do is stop. You, if you want to have fear, put it on a shirt. Write that shit out. And then right after you write that fear, I want you to put CE right after it. Because that's what you're really going to have to be. Because you can be scared. You can be nervous. You can be a little bit wary. But you can't. You got to still be fierce. When a panther goes to attack another panther, even though we see them as fearless, that panther goes in knowing that this other panther has the same weaponry and is probably can do just as much damage. But yet, in order to protect what he feels is his, he's going to go ahead and he's going to scrap with him. So it's nothing wrong with being fear, having fear. Just don't be fearful. Just be fierce. Because, yeah, anything can happen. If you stand there, you're definitely going to get hurt. If you don't get in there and scrap with them, then you're really never going to know what you were made of. And, you know, you're not. You just won't know. So if your fear cripples you, well, you know, and I want people to get past that part if they can, because that's what keeps everything from happening is the fear. You know, you got people who live next door to each other right now. They got so much in common, and they'll never know because they never even acknowledge each other when they walk out of their fucking houses. Barely get away. Maybe might see each other checking the mail and taking the garbage can out on Tuesdays. But other than that, they don't know shit about each other. If they got slaughtered and the police came and said, hey, what do you know about your neighbors? I don't even know their fucking name. Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, because people just really, it's not like you got to run out there and say hi to everybody, but you got to be open to talking to the persons that you do encounter, because you never know which one of them might have been sent your way. The universe has a weird way of putting things in front of us, kind of like its own little laugh track. Like, watch me put these five people around Kevin. He's only going to talk to maybe a couple of them. And he'll never know what possibilities he may have had he spoke to all of them. Now I got to train myself to speak to all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where I just think it is. We have to retrain ourselves. Like you said earlier, we got to retrain ourselves to not be toxic and to detoxify. You know, to be able to go back and really replay what we did and our part in things, you know, shit, we got to do that, because if you're really going to clean out your closet, well, you can't clean up the top shelf and leave the floor dirty.
Yeah, true. I was earlier when I was doing my little commentary, and I talked about it. Couple of situations and why I can't forgive them no more, but I don't know if you heard it or not, but Denon Root's attorney has, you know, for him. And I'm just like, well,
they white people, they're not going to let them stay in jail. They got lawyers, and if the lawyers can get them out, they're going to try to still get them out. I mean, every time you hear a lawyer say, I'm going to stay on the case after they get the guilty verdict, then, yeah, well, that's because there's somebody paying them. They're not doing it pro bono, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, eventually, there's a certain amount of time I think they have to wait before they can file certain appeals. Now, they can appeal other shit early, but there's a timetable on certain appeals. They got to sit a while to even appeal certain shit. And I think that's what's going on here, because honestly, how can he get an appeal when he acknowledged what he did? You know? So
they're
like,
trying to, you know, they're trying to play, that, mental card, you know.
Even then, you still can't let him out. It just means he goes to a mental mental hospital for the criminally insane. I know they exist because I have cousins that work at them in New York.
Yeah, and that's what they try to do, get them off of death row.
Yeah, that's all that is. And really, to be honest with you, he's safer on death row, because if he's in Gen Pop, he's one that would get dealt with the same way they dealt with the one that was eating the blacks and the Chinese up there. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get dealt with. It's the weirdest place to think that any morals, ethics, or scruples exist, but you would be surprised at what missing your loved ones and being around all of this shit every day can do to some people. And, yeah, you killed 9 black people in a church. There's some murderers there that, yeah, they're probably going to take advantage of that moment. Hog tie your ass, fuck the shit out you, and kill you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird justice, but it's justice.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But I don't think you should be, I don't think with certain stuff that the appeals should be there. And what I am going to think we should start doing is there's a guy that got out recently in North Carolina, Ronnie Long. And the reason he was brought to my attention was by this lady who wanted some help to try to get the word out for him. And I said, I don't mind helping you do that. But then this broad thought that we were supposed to, like, I don't know, pay her rent, get her an apartment. I said, hold up, what are you talking about? I said, well, I need to be here, and it costs to do that. I'm like, well, yeah, but you should be hollering at Ronnie and his family about that shit. Yeah, we're not here to pay your rent while you walk around out there in North Carolina as a white woman trying to get some black guy out of jail for raping a white woman. Yeah, I don't think we're going to do that way. You're there on your own. I'm trying to help Ronnie. I'm not trying to help you. You know, and I just wanted that shit clear. And she had did some silly shit trying to make it seem like I was trying to come at her. And Ronnie, she told the shit she told Ronnie had him thinking I was trying to take his woman. I'm like, please, this woman looks like a goddamn pelican. No offense to pelicans, but I don't fuck with pelicans. So, you know. And, you know, it was a problem. But he did get out recently. He got out, actually, I think it was, a couple of months ago, a few months ago? So, you know, they did exonerate him. What I would like to see us all do is find a way to put a fund together to have these motherfuckers be forced to relook and reopen a lot of those questionable cases, especially in the South, but not limited to the South, because a lot of racial shit happened in the Southwest, in the North, in the Midwest, and definitely on the West Coast. And I just feel like, you know what, to know that we had such a bad climate, because y'all want to talk about how good it is now, well, why don't we revisit some of that shit and let some of these people who, you know, locked up for their whole fucking life out so they can get a little bit of it back.
Yeah, but not enough of it.
Well, I mean, it's only so
much. I can agree.
They gave him $750,000 for sitting that long. Now, you know what? He's been in jail 20-plus years. When you do the math on that, you really see the disrespect in that number.
Yeah, for real. Lee.
You know? They hand you that, and they're like, well, you good now. You know, that'll get you a crib, car, you know, a few chili dogs so you get a job. You know, they thinking like you're supposed to just wipe all of this out. And he's at an age now where he's not even as employable as he may have been at one time. So he's suing the whole city. You know? And I think that's why they are afraid to do that, to let a lot of them out, because they know then not only do they, under their laws, they have to compensate them. So the trick they've been doing is releasing a lot of them, leaving them under probation or parole for multiple years to keep them. Basically, I think they do it for the amount of years that it would put them to where they wouldn't be able to do any action against the time, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Because, like you got to wait, you're on parole for 5 years. We're going to let you out early compared to what we were going to do. Remember, you're innocent, but they're going to let you out early. And now you under their thumb for 5 years. And then you find out that, you know, you only have 4 years to, you know, do anything about the conviction. That type of shit, you know. Yeah, they play that game a lot. That's what they got my boy Jeff on, where they fucking with him. Had him locked up for nothing. Yeah. So there's a bunch of people getting caught up. But if we was really working as a unit, we would be trying to get a bunch of them out of that system. Because they're not gonna go back and do the right thing, and really everything that you were talking about in the beginning of this show, it comes back to that. just doing the right thing.
No,
we do the moment thing. We need to do the right thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We do the moment thing. And that's what we do. You know, what's happening this week. And then, I mean, you know what, though? I mean, it's funny you say that. But the irony of it is, you know, we kind of right now in a place where, yeah, we living from moment to moment because it seems like every other moment, you know, it's another one of us getting, you know, checking out
right.
of here some kind of way.
Well,
you
for
know.
Every one you see, there's 10 you don't. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I agree. Agreed. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I think
about how many we don't get to hear about. I mean, Ronald Green. Had you ever heard of him before?
Not until last week. No, not until last week when they came with those tapes, and that's really two years old. Yeah.
So that happened under Trump's
2019.
Watch. Right.
Yeah.
But as a result of the new alert law that Obama put in and the Supreme Court decision that protected cops.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, because I was reading an article about it, mm-hmm. and Trump actually did have the DOJ investigate the case, but nothing ever, Nothing became.
Well, see, the definition of the DOJ investigating a case is they open an investigation, and then it can sit on a desk for a good year before there's any actual activity on it. Got to remember what they're doing, man. The Department of Justice is supposedly watching all of these dingy-ass cops just getting away with everything. That's their whole fucking job. Okay. And they're bad at it. They've been bad at it. You know? They don't really do shit. That's why I'm thinking that story, somebody should have had already, you're trying to tell me that this tape sat for 2 years. So somebody hit it, obviously. Because how could this tape sit in the place that we go to get help and they ain't even checking their own shit? Them punk-ass cops is out there still hurting folks for 2 fucking years. Untouched. Not even bothered with.
And feeling no
still
remorse.
Pulling people over. Yeah, still pulling people over. And now they feel empowered and emboldened because they know they got away with it, and if they had to, they could do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Just the good old boys. They mean harm.
Yeah.
Look, they sold us on that shit a long time ago, man. Remember the late 70s? All of that shit, Carter Country, Dukes of Hazzard, all of that. They made them rednecks seem like they was fun to hang out with, boy. Woo. Till you realize there was no niggas there. Now, they showed you some of the poorest crackers, but there was no niggas there. That's how you make America great again.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I remember. I remember this show they had out called Carter Country. And they what was crazy about it was it's in the South. It's in Georgia. And they had the black cops. Now, that was the comedy of it. But what show came out shortly after that? In the Heat of the Night, the drama. Got the redneck sheriff married to a light-skinned black woman. With the jet black detective from the city, a Yankee at that. Yankee niggas. And he got just as much stroke as me. But how did he neuter that nigga? His wife's black. So we going to have to work together. kind of like that I'm not racist shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they never racist. They just don't like black people. That's all it is.
My thing is, I'm at a point, Melvin, and I hope a whole lot of people hear me say this. I don't give a fuck about you liking me. I don't even care if we get along. But you're going to stop disrespecting my right to exist. Well, I'm going to have to start disrespecting you.
Yeah, and that's a well-laid point, because honestly, you know, that go back to what I said earlier, because honestly, we know the language, we just won't speak it with them. We'll take that anger out on each other as opposed to directing it and then redirecting more energy, you know, positive. Like I say, we just need to stop and think about what it is we're doing and where we really want to go. And I think a lot of us are still going along to get along. A lot of us don't see any other way but their way, you know. And I think that, too, is another one of the biggest issues that keeps us from uniting in a more collective fashion, because, you know, some of us, like, I mean, are comfortable and don't mind playing their game and guess a boss and cooning and clowning and, you know, all that other nonsense that you have to do just to be accepted in their little circles, as if they circles are, you know, of any value. But, you know, the hoops that we have to jump through just to get in a damn circle amongst them, I'd rather just hang around my own, make my own circle, you know. And that's what I don't understand about it. Exactly. And I mean, we are, you know, what we do is what's trendy, you know. I mean, we just gotta, I don't know. Like I say, I think we sometime, or we may be our own worst enemy. And I've heard it said.
We said trends, but when we said trends, it's not the things that matter, though. When you say that, you're right. They follow a lot of our swag. They don't, you know, but they don't respect our intelligence the same way. Or our capability to say, man, they don't respect that. But they love our swag. And that's true. The problem is we love our swag.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man, I watched this movie from the 70s, and I just thought about how ridiculous we must have looked back then to them when they were looking at us. Because we were, and then the funny shit was when they started trying to dress like that. When I looked at it, I'm looking at how the white guys was dressed. And I was like, yeah, they took a shot at it. It didn't work for them. That loud shit just wasn't working.
Right.
They got stuck, you know. You know, they got stuck. So, yeah, our swag they desire, but they don't desire us. So, yeah. And we got to desire us. Well, I said, we love our swag more than we love us, too. We got to get out of that shit. We got to, the games that the system tells us to play, we got to stop playing them. You know, we just have to, because, for one, it would save us money. Two, it would actually be empowering, because the young boys are going to ask you, yo, why you ain't doing what everybody else doing? Because, I mean, when you see everybody all doing the same shit, then it's nothing new. It's usually when you see that person doing something different that gets your curiosity. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly. Peaks interest. Right. And two, that just go back to what I was saying. You know, because, we got to get control of their minds back. We, you know, that's a must. We got to put that fear of us back in them. Like how, you know, Big Mama tell you to go get a damn switch off of that tree. That put that fear in you, because you know, you walk into that tree to get a switch, somebody finna get it, I hope it ain't me. But, you know, it just, you know, goes back to, like I say, we really got to recognize we need each other. I got another caller here that I'm going to open up. They hit the button here. Got about 10 more minutes. But, yeah, we've been dropping the ball. I'm at fault for that, too. Caller 5396, your line open.
Good evening.
But good evening.
Hey,
peace.
I was just sitting here listening. I've been listening the whole time, taking it in. I've been enjoying it, though.
Sis, what's going on with you?
Not much. I've been sitting here listening.
That's what's up.
I don't be watching the news, so, and I don't know what's going on with stuff. I see and just listening. But I did want to chime in before the show ended. I was waiting on you to round back to it because I didn't want to take it off topic while y'all were talking. But I was wanting you to get back to what you were talking about how we need to get back to family and family views, values and stuff like that, because, man, I swear that's a big issue. And I always say I feel like we dropped the ball somewhere. Back to Big Mama Nim, I don't know. Like I said, I noticed a lot with my generation.
Right.
It's like what I noticed a lot that happened with my generation bringing up kids, it became more of a sense of wanting to fulfill material needs with their children than what they
right.
had. It's like everybody wanted to make sure their kids yeah. had all the things they didn't have materialistically, but you forgot to instill
right.
in them morally what, you know, the things that were put into us. You know what I mean? It's like we were so worried about making sure they had the latest Jordans and making sure they had this game and they had the most polo and outdressed the next kid and this, that, and the third, but weren't putting nothing into them. Even, like, I watch these kids now, I watch them growing up. It's like they have nowhere near a sense of self as we did. I'm thinking, even as they were growing up, preteens and teenagers, I'm thinking when we were their age, we were so much more self-sufficient. Like, we could do things, and it's like they have to have somebody hold their hand to do everything but the wrong thing. They can figure the wrong thing out real fast. But everything else is like, you have to step-by-step them. And I'm thinking, God, when I was your age, I was able to do these things again without somebody having to tell me. You know, but
right.
I said that goes back to us not putting into them what was put into us. And really, I won't even say that because a lot of people I grew up around, they might have had parents there. If some of them had parents who were on drugs, so, hey, you had no choice but to figure it out for yourself and learn how to fend for yourself and take care of yourself. Or you had parents there that weren't on drugs, but they were out living their own life, you know what I mean? And, you know, you had
right.
some that had parents there like me. I mean, I didn't have parents. My grandmother raised me. But it was whatever. It's like I had no guidance. There was no discipline. There was no guidance. It was kid did what she wanted to do. And, you know, I kind of figured my way out through life like that. So, but
you
I
know,
still
Queen,
try
if
to
I
figure
could,
out what's missing
could I,
from
can
that.
Can I throw something mm-hmm. in there with you on that? Because mm-hmm. you just said a mouthful right there. That's really what we all are, is a bunch of self-guided missiles. Because when I was younger, yeah, my mother, she did drugs, she drank and all that other shit, but she wasn't always that way, but they were more willing to let us wander and figure shit out for ourselves. And what I see now
right.
is a bunch of kids sit around in the crib waiting to ask you a bunch of questions, knowing goddamn well they're not listening to you anyway.
Right.
You know?
Right. Being coddled in. I don't know. Like
you
said, I mean, in a way, it's like you want to say, well, it's so much more dangerous now. I mean, is it? Because I'm thinking back in the 70s and 80s, honey, gangbanger was at an all-time high. You know, I mean, is it any more dangerous now than it was then?
I think these kids
seem to be a little more reckless.
It was worse then because you didn't have the social media you have now. Like, if your child's missing, you can put that shit out there in an instant. You ain't got to wait on the cops with that 24 hours and shit like that. So you just going to get these
right.
motherfuckers time to take my baby? Okay. So back then,
right.
any of us could have been a victim because nobody would have ever heard shit about us. Nothing.
Right. And not even just social media. Like, you know, with all these, so many people having home cameras and cameras, doorbell cameras and cameras in their yards, you catch stuff. I was just thinking, I was sitting here the other day, I was at my cousin's and at her shop, and she was watching the news, and I was thinking about how instantly, right then, an almost kidnapping was caught on camera, just like right there like that. And I'm thinking, golly, just some years back, if he would have got away with that baby, she just would have been a what happened to so-and-so. You know what I mean? All we know is she was on the school when she left to go to school and what happened to her. But technology has brought it such a long, has brought it such a way, you know, that, but it's, technology has brought so much to us, but I think in the same sense, it's taken away so much from us.
It's like social abilities.
Right.
You gotta love my queen. Bring it home. Shit. Wow. Mouthful. As usual.
Yeah.
D. Jones.
Yeah. Great point. D.
Jones.
Like you were saying, it is, we did, because I'm guilty of that, you know, trying to get my kids. I think, and especially with my first child, my first son, I bought shit that I wanted for Christmas for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we could play with it, you understand? But you know, and honestly, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with that. I think our children deserve to be spoiled when they do the right thing.
But
you know what I mean?
Tell the boy this ain't for you, this for me. We going to play these rock and roll games, okay?
Yeah, you know.
Sure.
But,
that's funny.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah,
because, yeah,
nothing wrong with
you
spoiling
said
and giving
that
out, you know, and letting our kids have, you know, see the better part of life and getting experience the good part of life. But I think that it's wrong when that's all we do and we're not putting anything else into it. We're not teaching them values and giving them principles behind it. And like I said, I fear that's where we drop the ball a lot with our generation. And then my generation that now have children that are starting to have that my generation is starting to have grandchildren, that with their children is only getting worse. Watching these new babies come in and these now young mothers and fathers bringing in these kids, it's like, you know, it's like crazy stuff. Like, I hate to look on social media and see a boy with a child and refer to his son as his little nigga, you know what I mean? And he like, look at my little nigga. He gonna be a real hitter. Like, no, why not? This is your son. You want to teach him to be a real man, you know? Because nobody taught you to be one, so you don't even view yourself as a real man. So my bad for expecting you to want to teach your son to grow to be one. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like
And two, because like you know you were saying, because we. And I can remember, yeah, I got an allowance, but with that allowance came chores. You know, you get your ass up out of the bed, going to school every morning, you make the bed,
right.
First damn thing you do. You know, my job was taking out the trash, cleaning the bathroom, mowing the yard. So you had things to do in order to, you know, and then that too will make you appreciate what you get just a little bit more. As opposed to how we parented. Because, like I say, discipline was there. But, yeah, I did. When I could, you know, I'd get them whatever I could, whatever they wanted, wished for.
Right, whatever they wanted.
You know, if you can't do it, you just can't do it. And sometimes you just can't do it, you know. But all in the same breath, it's just like you say about appreciation, and then with that, teaching them that moral aspect, you know, and self-respect, because we got to teach boys to be boys and be respectful of young women, and women to be our young girls to be worthy of that respect, you know, because it's a pecking order, you know, and we've got to get back to teaching our men to be protectors, our boys to be protectors, you know, because we all we got, you know, and we got to take care of each other. My show actually just ran out of time, but I'm still going. But I appreciate you calling in, as usual, sister and brother Kevin, Sister Kia. This has been, you always come with, and then I appreciate that, too, because, I mean, it's always nice to hear the other side because, you know, male and females do things different. And
right.
We have to learn how each other moves so that we can, and as long as when the black man and the black woman gets that understanding and has that understanding, well, it just simplifies the process, and you know, so to say, because when you have an understanding, sometimes a lot of things don't have to be said, you know.
Right.
It's just kind of like a vibe, and you just automatically know and do what needs to be done. And that's why I say, you know, yeah, we definitely have got to get back to raising our youth. And I'll say grooming them, you know, for this world and grooming them to be strong and proud of who they are. We got to give them that sense of pride back, you know, because it ain't nothing I'd rather be than this black man, struggle and all, you know. But I wouldn't change it for the world. Wouldn't change it for the world. But I guess I'm going to close this thing out, sister. I do, like I say, appreciate you calling in once again. Brother Kevin, appreciate you too. For calling in, brother. This has been another episode. I may be back next Monday. I'll put a bulletin out if so. But in closing, I'll just say, hey, we need each other. Thank y'all for listening online. Thank y'all once again for calling in. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our sight. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?